Welcome in, everybody, to this week's edition of the All Lions Bang the Table podcast. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. As you can see, my guy's back, Jeff Iafrady, host of Crunch Time. He was out there in Indy on the scene. It was great to see the fellas get out there, check out the combine. I'm definitely curious now, as we head into free agency, what that means for the Lions, who got on the radar of my guy, Jeff. So we'll have a good conversation here over the next half hour or so. Jeff, what? Just tell me what it was like. I've never been to the combine. I am a guy that follows the draft, but not that intensely. Obviously, I know which positions are going to be key. I know which players are now slotted. I know who's risen, who's fallen. I love sitting on the couch, taping the combine, and then going through the numbers as everybody else is as well. What was it like for you guys getting out there, boots on the ground, out there at Indy at the combine?
Well, I've always been like you, John. I enjoy watching the combine. At home, I think they do a great job with the coverage. And you, when you're there, you get a different perspective. You get to see things that aren't on TV, so it's also nice. It was a lot of fun, right? Running into NFL coaches, we met Jim Harbaugh out there. The only thing I'm sad about is I didn't get to meet Dan Campbell or Brad Holmes, but it was nice to be able to network. We ran into some local media, Lions fans from all over the country, all gathering together to watch football. And it was really just guys working out. And that's what makes it so interesting is there's no football actually being played, but just to watch these guys top of their class in this upcoming NFL draft, it was nice to be able to see it. And some guys that we talk about a lot, me, you, the guys over at Crunch Time, the guys we cover, we got to see those guys in action over there testing. So it was a lot of fun. It basically just used as a tool to confirm what you've already seen on tape.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it like running into Jim Harbaugh? Are you guys at a hotel? How was that? You guys are looking to network, looking to meet anyone that's out there, and all of a sudden you meet one of the newest NFL head coaches in Jim Harbaugh, the guy, the coach that just won the national title and a guy that's riding high and looking to do some big things, looking to change some narratives.
Yeah, there's a lot of Michigan fans. I mean, JJ, when he was there, I mean, he got the crowd chanting Blake. Jim was on camera, the crowd was going crazy for him. We ran into Jim. We saw him walking into the stadium at the beginning, going into the media section, which will be in next year. But we also saw him walking out. We were walking out. We ran into him. We introduced ourselves, told him what we're doing. He was very nice about it. Very polite guy, even in a hurry. He's like, "All right, I'm in a hurry, but yeah, I got time. Let's take a photo. You know, it's nice to meet you fellas." Just another opportunity for us to network. But Jim, he's one of my favorite coaches. I'm not a Michigan fan, but I always say Jim's one of the best coaches on planet Earth. Not football. I think he's coaches, period, because of what he was able to do at Michigan with the 49ers. And I love Jim as a football coach. So that was kind of a little bucket list for me. But yeah, Jim, he's great on TV. He's great. But when you meet him in person, he's even better. He's a great human being.
Yeah, great human being. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of success that he does have in the National Football League. All right, turning our attention. Who caught your attention at the combine? Obviously, everybody in Detroit locally is looking for quote unquote Brad Holmes guys, guys that are gritty, guys that are potentially going to fit in the locker room, guys that can potentially make big plays at key moments, willing to be coachable. Who caught your attention out there as guys on defense and offense that could fit what Brad Holmes and the Lions, especially Dan Campbell, are looking for?
So we got to see the DBs and wide receivers, quarterbacks, obviously, but I don't think they'll take a quarterback. But the DBs specifically, the first day we were there, I think one DB to me that I don't know if the Lions will be able to get, but my favorite defensive back in the draft would be easily Quinyon Mitchell. I think he solidified himself, him or Nate Wiggins, as the number one corner in this draft. I doubt he even falls in a spot where the Lions could trade up for him. But if you're trading up for a corner, to me, it would be a Quinyon Mitchell. I think he's gone, though. He showed out in the combine. A realistic target or two that the Lions could go get that I think performed really well. Max Melton ran a 4.39 40. He's a guy that, you know, on tape, the competitiveness, the competitor he is, the mentality he plays with, I think the Lions are going to like him a lot. He came out and he obviously thinks he's the best DB in the class, which he should approach it like that. I like Max Melton a lot. I think Max solidified himself as a second round pick from how he kind of performed at the combine, along with the tape in the Big Ten, if you got to watch him this season. So Max Melton to me is an interesting one. I'm curious if the Lions go corner in the second round. Another one that I like, it's the DB from Missouri, Chris Abrams-Drain, who, I think people kind of, you know, don't bring him up enough because the conversations around his teammate, Ennis Rakestraw, junior, who, if you go back and watch Rakestraw, he was injured a lot. I know he's mocked in the first round. He got injured at the combine, so that's not great either. I like Chris Abrams' drain more because of the value. You'll be able to take this guy probably in the second, third, hell, at the latest fourth round. And he's a corner that I think 5'11". Another guy, Missouri had a ton of NFL talent on defense. I think Chris Abrams' drain is one of those guys. So Max Melton, Chris Abrams' drain, two kind of second, third round guys I think the Lions could target. Quinion, if they trade up. And then, of course, just locally here, I'll go with Mikey Sanders still because he showed out there and he was in front of Jim Harbaugh, which I think Jim Harbaugh is watching him thinking, okay, Jesse Minter, we would like to have this guy back in with our defensive scheme. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Mikey went in the first round. I know that sounds – it's been the second, the third round kind of up until this point, but I just think teams are going to fall in love with him. Obviously, people know his football IQ. Polk came out from Washington and talked about his football IQ. He was calling out plays before they happened. I think Mikey's going to be an early round guy, but this class of DBs, even though I can make the argument that Quinion Mitchell kind of solidified his spot as corner one, it is kind of it's an interesting group of guys that could either go, you know, early in the first, late in the first, they could float second, third. There's a lot of names kind of in this group where I'm curious to see where they land. Kamari Lassiter, a guy that I've been a big fan of. He didn't have his best combine. He didn't run the 40, but these guys will all have a chance to kind of redeem themselves at their own pro day. So Max Melton, Chris Abrams-Drain, two guys that I like for the Detroit Lions. If we're talking past the first round, of course, if a Kamari Lassiter or anybody else falls, then it's a different conversation. But Max Melton and Chris Abrams-Drain are the two that I said, you know what, those guys would fit well with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's been interesting is some of the buzz that came out of Indy from reporters or things like that is that, you know what, some of the top end in the first round defensive linemen may be gone in terms of a Darius Robinson, those that are crushing on him, especially with his local ties. People see a player that can be impactful, but maybe a player that you have to trade up in order to get. And I think that maybe a Braylon Trice may fall in the second or third round. You kind of see that maybe his stock, just based on the performance, you know, you kind of look at it and you say, well, maybe he's there in a different spot. So in terms of offensive players, did you see any wide receivers that caught your attention? Obviously, you heard that I like Keon Coleman. I have personal reasons for that, obviously. But you recognize that, look, Brad Holmes kind of tends to have a type in regards to big-bodied wide receivers that can get open. Would they be willing to add another one next to Jameson Williams if they move on from Josh Reynolds? Who caught your attention on the offensive side of the football? I know a lot of people are maybe even saying they're not going to be surprised if the Lions take a wide receiver at number 29.
Yeah, there's a couple here. Actually, I think this wide receiver class, John, is one of the deepest wide receiver classes we've seen in the last handful of years. I mean, if you go through the top 50, 60 players, probably one-third of them are wide receivers. I think, or at least, you know, 20 plus are going to be first two rounds projected. It's crazy the talent they have. I know the Lions met with a couple of them. Brian Thomas Jr., I think his stock just keeps rising. That's a guy that I love a lot. I think he solidified himself as a top 15 pick. So I don't know if the Lions will be able to get him. Other guys that I liked a lot, Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. I like Ladd a lot. You watch him, when you watch the tape, how smooth he runs routes, how effortless he makes it look. And then you go to the combine, you kind of match those two things. He's running routes effortlessly. He's making every catch. He looked really, really good in the gauntlet drill. I like Ladd. I think he solidified himself as a late first round pick. Your guy, Keon Coleman, he's a guy to me. And I mentioned this on our show. I don't think the combine should significantly do damage to his draft stock. And to me, maybe he slides a couple picks, but Keon's a guy that I think you get on the field and he's just going to make plays. You if you want to look at his 40, you know, he's not Xavier Worthy. He's not a track star, right? But he's a guy that you throw a ball up and obviously played at MSU basketball. He'll go up and get it like a rebound. So I like Keon Coleman still. Even the combine, it didn't change much for me. He looked good in the gauntlet drill. So again, I think the 40 time, people look at it like, 4.6. Are you worried? No, I'm not too worried. I think his physical tools, he'll still be a early second, late first round pick to me. So I like Keon Coleman a lot. Another guy that kind of stood out would be Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. He kind of reminds me of that DJ Chark build, that true X, a guy that can run a 4.4. He topped 20 something miles per hour at South Carolina this year, twice, I believe. And he's kind of a perfect complement to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamison Williams. Jamison could take the top off, but Xavier physically is a much physical. He's a much physically he's more physically imposing than Jamison Williams. He's like 6'3", 200 plus pounds. He can run a 4'4", kind of a jump ball guy. It's what they had in DJ. But I think Xavier Legette, another guy that, again, he was kind of in the second, third round tier. He's probably going to be a second round pick this upcoming season. And then you got some other guys that I think are interesting. Ricky Purcell out of Florida. He's 6'1", great route runner. He played at Arizona State. Herm Edwards loves him a lot. But there's a lot of names that, you know, you watch guys that kind of dropped. I mean, even a Troy Franklin, who I thought, you know, was going to be a late first in the combine. I mean, even the gauntlet drill. I mean, I'm sure people saw that. It went kind of viral. He didn't have his best day. And he's more of a track star to me. And I think knowing Brad Holmes, you want a route technician, somebody that has a, you know, maybe not all the tools, but somebody that you're like, okay, he has the physical ability. We can work on the other things. And I think, you know, Xavier Legette would be the perfect one for that. I think Brad Holmes is going to fall in love with a player like that. So to me, a guy the Lions could realistically get would be either him or Ladd McConkey. I don't think Brian Thomas will be there. But there is a ton of wide receiver talent in this upcoming draft. The more we talk about the possibility of the Lions drafting one at 29, I start to think how deep this class is, that I would be more comfortable with them taking the best player available. Maybe it's a wide receiver, but I think you can get a great, great player in the second, third round at wide receiver. I think even a Malachi Corley, you know, I think he's another option for the Lions. So a lot of talent there, John, but I still don't think they'll go wide receiver in the first round, but I could be wrong.
Were you in the building when Xavier Worthy broke the combine record? I mean, for the speed that which he had at a 4.2 is ridiculous. I mean, he was shot out of a cannon and just really put himself on notice. Now, I know that it's different, you know, playing at Texas and how that's going to translate to the league. But by and large, when you look at intangibles, speed like that is something you can't teach. And I know people will look at other receivers that have been fast, but he does have, when you look at it on film, he does have big game ability. He's got the catch radius that you're looking for. And my goodness, in the big game against Alabama, you saw that he was able to make plays. Were you there in the building? And what did you think of the speed when you saw, holy cow, the combine record, the fastest human that ever tested at the combine was Xavier Worthy?
Yeah, that was crazy. It's funny. We actually left right before he ran. So how messed up is that, John? I didn't expect Xavier Worthy to break the record. He ran a 4.22 and they changed it to 4.21. So he is the fastest human ever at the combine. And he's different from guys like John Ross. I know people, what did John Ross do in the NFL? Well, John Ross had one great year at Washington. Like, Xavier Worthy's had a couple of productive seasons already. Like, Xavier has already been proven to be a productive wide receiver, and he just has 4.21 speed. It's different, right? Like, he's not a guy that you're going to bring strictly in as a gadget player. Like, I could see the Chiefs absolutely falling in love with Xavier Worthy and just being like, you know what? Patrick Mahomes, we'll find a way with this guy. Even though, you know, he's a little skinnier frame. It was crazy to see. I mean, that's what makes the combine so great, is these guys break world record, I mean, at least combine records, and it goes viral. Like, even Tyreek Hill was tweeting about him. So it was nice to see. He honestly made himself probably a couple of million dollars by just running the 40. So that's kind of the risk versus reward for some guys. Like, how much do you have to gain? And Xavier Worthy had nothing really to lose and everything to gain, and he gained it.
Now, some interesting news that came out was when Caleb Williams made the rounds. He's a quarterback projected to go number one. And look, I know there's a lot of people that will have hyperbole and will talk up guys that they interview. But, you know, Pro Football Talk talked about Caleb Williams going to the Bears and then haunting the Lions and the Vikings and the Packers. When you saw that he didn't run, do you think that's something that's going to really, you look at his game and what you've seen of him, do you think he's going to potentially land with the Bears? Do you think he's going to haunt the Detroit Lions? Because I see a guy that scouts say, look, you know, has some flaws that are clearly exploitable, but we never know how it's going to project to the National Football League. Now, this is not related to the Lions roster, because you know that they're pretty much set at quarterback. They're probably going to look to free agency, maybe to a veteran or maybe another developmental quarterback way later in the draft. But if the number one overall pick comes in the division, you concerned at all about Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I am. If I'm being real with you, John, because in this, I'm probably on my own island with this because I've been a Caleb Williams fan just for the last 2 years. And this is before like the Bears had the pick. So I can't just be like, oh, he's going to Chicago. He's going to stink. Like, I like Caleb Williams a lot. And I know people brought up, you know, he didn't test and all this. Guys, like for him, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., they have it's the whole risk versus reward. There's more risk there to participate than there is reward. So don't – is he a competitor? Go watch the tape. He's a competitor. I get why people would be concerned with that, but it's blasphemy. But the whole Caleb Williams thing, I don't know if – you know, I'm not saying year one he's going to be this – you know, walk on and be C.J. Stroud and what C.J. Stroud did his rookie year. He could be. I don't think he will. I think Chicago's a different situation. I don't like Matt Eberflus, and they've had multiple, you know, different coaches offensively, and I think that's a problem. So I don't know if Caleb's going to the best situation, but too bad. That's why you pick number one. You lost the most games. Or for them, they had the Panthers who lost the most games. But regardless, I think Caleb Williams in the NFC North with Jordan Love, you're probably going to have what – I mean, Minnesota, depending on what they do, you could very easily have two rookie quarterbacks next year in Jordan Love, who's a second-year starter. So it's not a, you know, should the Lions be, you know, scared of not winning? Like, they should be favored, and I think they will win the NFC North. But you do have young quarterbacks. It's the time kind of taking over, right? Aaron Rodgers leaves. They got Jordan Love, and now Kirk Cousins is going to leave the division. And with Chicago, I never really was a huge fan of Justin Fields. I liked him at Ohio State, but after watching 30-plus games in the NFL, I just don't think he has shown enough as a passer to be solidified as their franchise quarterback. So I think Caleb Williams is going to be a great pro. I think he, you know, there's some things off script that people look at and like, ah, you know, it's not going to work in the NFL. I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but guys like Patrick Mahomes have kind of made that popular. The off script throws, the creativity, being an artist, like being a painter, if you want to compare it to that. That's kind of what Caleb Williams is. And they have the 9th pick too, I believe. So they're going to be able to take a Rome Odunze or somebody to kind of go alongside DJ Moore. I think Chicago has a ton of leverage here with just building a great roster. Now, will Ryan Poles mess it up? I don't know. And can Matt Eberflus coach? Probably not. But if we're talking about Caleb Williams as a prospect, John, I'm a huge fan of his. So I think he'll be a great player. But I think as a team, the Lions are still years ahead of the Bears, in my opinion. And they're only going to get better.
Yeah, you shared with us a lot of players that are real interesting that you guys all can go scout. But if Brad Holmes is aggressive, we've seen him move up in the first round before. Maybe he's going to pick up the phone on draft day, maybe not stay at number 29. If he does, let's just say hypothetical, he does pick up the phone and starts inquiring about trading up. Who's the guy that you say, okay, I have no problem, I can sleep easy if the Lions traded a third round pick, some capital, maybe even next year, a player for this guy? To me, it's either Mitchell or Darius Robinson. You hit two areas of need. Mitchell, you saw potentially, we all believe that he's going to be a player that can shore up the cornerback spot, a developmental player that has the competitive, maybe could even be a guy that can really add to the secondary in the second half of 2024. And then obviously Darius Robinson is a game changer, declared himself the best player, local ties, and you see on tape that he can wreck opposing offensive linemen. So to me, there's two players there. I thought it was interesting that Tyrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry kind of cooled off based on what happened for them in the combine, wouldn't be willing to move up for them. Maybe one of them slips, and you know Brad Holmes is potentially in line to like guys that have had injury history who fall because their value maybe increases or they dip. So we'll see if those two guys are there at 29. It'll be really intriguing. But if Brad Holmes dials it up and calls another general manager and says, hey, I want to move up for a guy, who's the guy that's the best guy for the Lions to trade up for?
I agree with the two you brought up. I think Darius Robinson, he's somebody that I see kind of going mid-20s. So I'm curious how the Lions kind of approach that if you want to trade up and get him. Another guy you brought up, Quinyon Mitchell, that was actually one of my favorite guys if you're going to trade up and get a corner. Two I'll throw out there. I wouldn't be surprised either, John, if they trade up for an offensive lineman, because the tackle class, and not just that, but even a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, there's a lot of talent there. And I think through the first 20 picks, there's going to be a handful of tackles drafted. There might be one at 29, a Graham Barton, for example. But somebody that I've fallen in love with and I think fits perfectly with this offensive line because of his ability, because of his skill, but also his versatility would be Jaxon Powers-Johnson. He's somebody that I think if he's there at 20, the Steelers are going to take him. They just cut their center this offseason. So if the Lions could jump the Steelers and get somebody like Jaxon Powers-Johnson, not only would he be able to start day one over Jonah Jackson, you could let Jonah walk, you don't have to spend money on him, but if Frank goes down, he could play center. So, or if Frank retires, you can move him to center. So it's not just you're drafting a guard in the first round, you're drafting one of the best offensive linemen, period, who can play guard slash center. And I think having versatility, especially on this offensive line, because Frank's somebody that we know when healthy, to me, he's one of the best centers in the National Football League, but that's when he's healthy. And there's that risk there. And he is a linchpin to me with this Lions offense. If Frank goes down, I get worried the most for someone like Frank. You saw how it looked when he was out the full season, different roster, but they only won three games without Frank. And I think his value sometimes is a little bit slept on. So I would like trading up for an offensive lineman. At first, I was opposed to the idea, but now that I think about it, I think the biggest or one of the biggest things for the Lions this offseason is keeping this offensive line elite. And how do you do that? Well, you go get the best in the class. There are guards that are going to be their second, third, fourth round. None of them compare because they can't play. Jackson can play center also at a high level. He played center. Jaxon Powers-Johnson out of Oregon. I think athletically he's a freak, and the Lions love guys that test good on RAS scores. And I think JPJ is going to be a name that if the Lions trade up and they're going on offense, if it's not a wide receiver, go get an offensive lineman like him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when you look at it predicated on the run game, you see that the importance of the offensive line, just how important sustainability is. And you could lose 2/3 of your starting offensive line this season. So, and then with Frank Ragnow and, you know, his situation and everything like that. And you also want to look to the future if Taylor Decker hangs it up in a couple of years or his time's up. So it's going to be very interesting to see the philosophy that Brad Holmes deploys and how the draft plays out. It could go a lot of different ways. That's why this draft is so interesting, is that I don't think there's one set plan. I think the Lions are going to have 6 to 7 guys that you know potentially will fit and they can plug in and handle business. They're not going to just have one guy. And I think 29, that's what Brad Holmes is excited about, is that, hey, there's a cluster of guys we can evaluate and have a lot more options to move up, move down, stay. So it's going to be real interesting. And we appreciate Jeff talking to us about the combine, his experience. Make sure you check out his stuff at Crunch Time on YouTube and all the various social media platforms. Follow him at Jeff Iafrady on Twitter. Now, got to ask two questions regarding the current roster before we get out of here. All the buzz regarding the roster from the combine involves the report that Amon-Ra St. Brown could earn a contract between $26 and $28 million annually. Now, look, we cannot argue. We cannot say that he's not worth it. But when you look at sustainability, when you look at what others are getting, is he in the Tyreek Hill class in regards to speed, in regards to high-end talent, a big touchdown, you know, the guy that puts up the statistical numbers? No. But in the end, you know, I look at it like, would he be worth $28 million a year? No doubt about it. He extends the chain. He represents everything that you're looking for. I just have a problem knowing that, you know what? Man, that's a lot to allocate to a quote-unquote slot receiver. I know he's more, but man, when you start going a little bit overpaying your own guys, I would go, man, I'd be a little more comfortable in the 23 to 25 range. I know it's only a couple million dollars, but that's a lot of money allocated. I know there are different contracts. I know now the Mike Evans deal kind of puts $26 million the floor in play for Amon-Ra St. Brown. How do you view it all? Because I don't have a strong opinion on it. I'm conflicted because, look, when it comes down, I'm not going to be upset. But at the same token, I'd be happier in the 23 to 25 range when I say, hey, what's the value, the best value the Lions can get could be just a little bit south of $25 million. We're talking Amon-Ra St. Brown, $28 million a season. I may need a little more convincing from you or others to be like, wow, sit on that and be like, that's what he should be paid annually over the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with the Mike Evans thing. He's getting paid 26 for 2 years, 52 in total. Most of that's guaranteed. I think that's definitely the floor for a guy like St. Brown. He had obviously a more productive season, and he's younger, and it's his first contract. Mike Evans has been around a little longer, actually a lot longer. But my whole thing with the St. Brown thing is, and I had to really get comfortable with this idea, because at first you're thinking, yeah, like, and I was with you, John, like $30 million. Is he Tyreek Hill? Is he Justin Jefferson? But then you really think about it. I don't think it even matters, to be honest with you, because it's not always who's the best. It's who's due to get paid. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, quite frankly, he's due to get paid. And he's a guy that when, especially when you're paying somebody like that amount of money, $26 to $28 million is the reported number. I ask myself as a GM, will I worry about this guy when it's the offseason or when he leaves the football field? You have no questions about St. Brown. You have no questions about his work ethic. You have no questions about his availability. You have no questions about his mentality, his approach, his professionalism. Like that's what it comes down to when you pay guys that type of, especially their first contract, you pay them a significant amount of money. And not just him, but a Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson, like the guys they've drafted. No wonder why they value football character. I mean, that, because you're going to have to eventually get to a point where, are we going to give this guy life-changing money long-term and keep him around? And obviously the cap went up and the cap's going to keep going up. And I never understood the, you know, will he take a hometown discount? Like, that to me is speaking from a fan. We're speaking as a fan, like, take a hometown discount. We got to look at it from St. Brown's point of view. Do you think, and Shannon Sharp brought this up first, and it's a great point. Do you think the NFL looks at, you know, ESPN, looks at Peacock and thinks we'll give them a discount? No, they're going to continuously ask for more money. This is a business. So players have to do that, too. I'm not saying St. Brown has to break the bank and ask for $30+ million. But if the man wanted whatever he wants, unless it's egregious, you give it to him. That's end of story. Look at the teams that have had success. A lot of players on those teams that are impactful kind of represent what St. Brown brings. And I think he's just so dependable. And with Jared Goff at the helm, I just think he's a perfect, perfect wide receiver. And I think for any quarterback, even if you, let's say you don't go with Jared in the future, I just think St. Brown is the guy you want to keep here long-term. So no questions from me about paying him. Yes, people would argue, well, Brad, you found him in the fourth. You can find it. Lightning doesn't always strike twice to find a guy like that. So in the same spot. So let's just, you know, get comfortable paying him whatever he asked for. And I think it'll be around $26 to $28 million. And I'm comfortable with it, John. I am.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah, no, I agree with you that the hometown discount is a fan topic. But at the same time, we look at it like, how does Brad Holmes approach it? Does he have a firm number? You know, the 26 to 28, is that the kind of a situation in which an agent will throw that number out there, knowing that the number may be 24 to 25? You know, you always start high and then you negotiate down a little bit. If the opposing team, if the people that you're negotiating with come down a little bit, you don't want to sell yourself short. So it'll be interesting to see where that number falls and the way in which the Lions have managed the cap with voidable years and spreading out the salary cap. It's doable. It's manageable. But again, now you got St. Brown, 28. You're going to have Goff, maybe 50. That's going to start to, you know, add up in a couple years when you start to look at Sewell and Hutchinson and Jack Campbell and Jameson Williams, who we're going to talk about here shortly. So that's why we say, hey, you save a couple million here, a couple million there. The cap goes up. You now maybe have an opportunity to add another piece here or there when you need it. So it'll be interesting to see this offseason outside of the draft, how the Lions manage the cap and those actual numbers. And then the other aspect, Jeff, I'm interested in that what was interesting from what was said from the front office and the coaching staff is what Dan Campbell said about Jameson Williams. He said, look, he's going to push to be a full-time starter. Not giving him the spot yet, but we all expect that he's going to have a lot more to contribute for this offense. You recognize now you started to see a glimpse of what he can bring to the table. Now, when you trust him, give him more targets, you know, he's going to have more understanding of the offense, you know, second full-time year diving into it, working with Goff, being available, being healthy. So to you, what would be a successful 2024 season for Jameson Williams?
To me, it's about just the consistency. I know people bring up a number. To me, I don't have necessarily a number. I think if you want me to give you a number, I would say he doubles his production this year, which isn't saying much. It's probably, I mean, he had 300 something yards, so I think he can get closer to 1,000. But I just don't think, and I love JMO. I've defended JMO since the very beginning. I mean, you have as well, John. You see the talent. There's no denying that, right? You see the speed, you see the game breaking speed, his impact, what it does for other players on offense. Like, I absolutely love J-Mo, but we have to be real here for a second and acknowledge, speaking of St. Brown, who we just talked about, St. Brown's going to get his 100 catches, 1500 yards. Like, Laporta's going to get his, he already had close to 1,000 this year. Let's say if healthy, of course, that's how we always base these arguments. He's probably going to be a 1,000-yard tight end. He's close, and he's eventually going to do it. Can you get a guy like J-Mo 1,000 yards receiving? I don't know. I don't know if J-Mo will ever, and I know this is, maybe people won't like that I say this, but it's my honest opinion. I don't know if J-Mo will ever hit his true potential with the Detroit Lions to what he can be. Not, and that's not a slight at the Lions. I think the Lions are doing everything they can, but this offense, there's so many mouths to feed. And for J-Mo, he you know, it's unfortunate for him because he had to kind of grow and recover. And he was suspended. He was dealing with the ACL his first year. That weapons kind of caught up behind him. Like, Sam Laporta rose, and he's arrived, and he's here. And St. Brown took off, like, while Jameson was kind of away. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's the reality. I think J-Mo brings another dimension to your offense, and you saw that in the NFC Championship game. And hopefully, you know, this year he's healthy. You know, no suspensions, no betting, and he knows better, so he'll be on the field. I just hope the Lions can consistently get him involved. I think that's really what I want to see, John, is just consistency, right? If he's going to get four targets, don't give him four targets and then one target the next game and then give him five and then maybe two. If he gets four targets, give him a minimum of four targets. Find a way to get him the football. That's up to Jared. That's up to Ben Johnson. We saw it at the end of last year, and it's not like you're forcing him the ball. That's not the argument at all. But it's just finding ways to get him in rhythm and get him, just keep him locked in, right? There's a lot of times where he came out on the field just to block and he'd come off the field. I don't think it should be like that, man. He's going into what, it'd be his third season. Like, just get him out there. Like, I don't want to see him out there just on run blocking plays. I think J-Mo has a lot more to give, even though I don't think he can maybe eclipse 1,000. That's not even a disrespectful thing to say. I still think he has a ton of talent. I do think he'll have much, much more of a consistent impact, John, this year than he's ever had. Given he stays healthy.
No, it's a real interesting discussion to have, and I value your opinion on it, and it's a fair opinion. Definitely, he needs to get in the mix and work his way up the depth chart. To me, it's different. I look at it like, you know, when a coach comes out and says things like, why did he say that? Why did he say publicly, we think that Jameson can push to get more involved? Look, I think he said that as a challenge, right, directly to Jameson Williams. To me, I want Jameson Williams to demand more. I think that he needs to be out there and demand that this football gets in my hands. Because, look, if Ben Johnson sees this guy's open, he makes an impact, yards after the catch, knows where he's got to be, limits mistakes, no issues with drops, you got a guy that potentially can be very explosive, move the chains, and be a real weapon if he wants to be. So I want to see a guy that's hungry and now realizes that, hey, I could potentially even be the number one. Now, will he get that kind of production? Maybe not, but he needs to be out there competing for it, because you're a first round selection. You're a guy that has all the tools. You got the speed that's ungodly. You got the tools to be a real solid wide receiver. What are you going to be? Are you going to be somebody that's just going to be a role player that you hope gets plays drawn up for you? I hope not. I hope that he stands out there one day and says, look, I want the ball. Michael Irvin style, give me the ball. Terrell Owen style, give me the ball. Because with the explosiveness and racking up totals, you have an opportunity to help this offense in a lot of ways. Because when you have that top flight receiver that's a threat like a Justin Jefferson, that opens things up for the run game, makes things a lot better for St. Brown and Laporta. So we'll see how long it takes, because I know it's in there. Look, nobody, look, he's publicly nice guy, says all the right things, been trained to say and be humble, but you know he's competitive. You know these receivers are dogs. They don't want to be a guy that's looked at as a number three, as a third year guy, or a number two. So he's got to fight and scratch and claw and do everything he can. And number one way to do that is to do that on the field. Second is to say, hey, give me the damn ball. I can do this thing and show that confidence. Now he's still young and people will look at him side eye and say, hey, pipe down. But when you start making those plays, when you make a play in the NFC title game, that gets your name out there. That gets you as somebody out there. So he better come in tip-top shape, handle himself like a pro. And I'm not hoping that he does it. I think he's going to start to emerge as the guy to, hey, become a leader in that locker room. And I think maybe not this year. Maybe it'll happen the following year. But I expect Jameson Williams to kind of take that mental edge forward and say, hey, I want to take this offense by storm, especially if the window is right now, 2024, 2025. So interesting to see how Jameson Williams, because he's key. Guys like that don't grow on trees. Guys that are explosive, speed like that, that are elusive, that have that it factor that when you give him the ball, you never know if he's going to take it to the house. So I'm really interested to see what his 2024 season looks like, especially with Goff, because it's getting there, but it wasn't quite there in the second half of 2023. Jeff, all is well. Good stuff. I'm glad you went out to the combine. Get your feet on the ground. Meet and greet with the likes of Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and next year when you guys cover it, I think that you guys are definitely young guys in the game and learning all about the NFL world and to cover your first combine. I thank you so much for taking the time to share what you thought about it here on the All Lines Bang the Table podcast. I really believe it. We're going to be banging the table. We're all going to be happy with this draft. And could you imagine if he's anywhere close, if Brad Holmes is anywhere close to the success that he had in 2024 drafting that he had in 23, 3 to 4 contributors. Oh my goodness. It's just amazing to think what the future holds. Where can people find you and what's going on with Crunch Time as of late?
You can find us on all social media platforms at Official CT Pod. And then you can follow us on or subscribe to our channel on YouTube, Crunch Time with Jeff Ifrady and Booner. We have John Macroon on, which is our guy. I like to have him on. John, I appreciate you. Anytime you need me, I'm always here for you, just like you are for me. And I'm excited for next year. We got to get you down there, John. I know you're a family man, but we got to get John out there in Indy. We can have a good time. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Thanks, everybody. The latest All Lions Bang the Table podcast coming to a close. Thanks, everybody, for downloading. Looking forward to bringing you good interviews and future episodes down the road. Thanks, everybody.